Welcome to the forum on your Tally Broadcasting Stations. I'm David Jenkins.
Today, I am pleased to be joined by State Senators Andy Menar and Kwame Raoul, who is actually running for Attorney General. So first of all, before we talk about, there are quite a few things I want to talk to you both about, but before we get into that, I'd like to learn more about you, Senator Raoul. You're a state senator, I assume.
I am.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a lifelong resident of Illinois. I've been practicing law for going on 25 years now. I started my career as a local prosecutor, so I've worked as a prosecutor. I've worked in a small community practice. I've worked in-house for a community college system, and I've worked for a couple of different firms doing employment law as well as health law.
Sure.
So I've got a wide variety of legal practice. About 13 years ago, a guy by the name of Barack Obama was elected to the U.S. Senate and created a new job opportunity for
me. I've heard of him.
And so I replaced him in the Senate, and I've been serving in the Senate since. I chair the Judiciary Committee in the Senate, and I'm the vice chair of the Criminal Law Committee. I've served on the Public Health Committee and various other committees, and served on a bipartisan criminal justice reform committee. And, you know, during my tenure in the Senate, I've taken on some assignments that many folks characterize as the middle of the highway assignments, mm-hmm. because they're difficult assignments that not too many people volunteer for, because you get hit by traffic going both directions, but that's what leadership calls on sometimes.
Exactly. Where are you from in Illinois specifically?
I'm from Chicago. Okay. I'm from the south side of Chicago, along the lakefront.
Have you had the opportunity to spend a lot of time down, not necessarily in this area, but just anywhere?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because years ago, the Illinois Farm Bureau doesn't adopt a legislator program, and mm-hmm. I was adopted by Jefferson County, so I went to a little bit further south. They brought me and my family down, and I really enjoyed the 3-day visit, so much so that I followed up a couple of years later with a brought-in trip. So we filled up a bus load of folks. We had students, both high school students, college students. I had some law enforcement officers, some state's attorneys, some members of various neighborhood chambers of commerce, and brought 50 people down to Jefferson County. We visited various farms. We went to healthcare facilities, to the schools. We went to Red Lake Shooting Complex and in various industrial entities down there. Sure. Then what we did 2 weeks later is we filled up a busload of 50 folks from down in Jefferson County, and we brought them up to Chicago. And the idea was, and for 3 days, 2 nights, and we had them visit all of what Chicago is, good and bad. And, mm-hmm. and then we brought all 100 people together to just have a kind of town hall meeting. And the idea was to sort of try to overcome the regional divide that often exists in politics mm-hmm. and in governing that is premised upon being so different. And what folks realize is that they had a lot more in common than what was different about them.
Sure.
And that the differences didn't need to divide them.
No, that's exactly right. You and Senator Menar obviously are both senators. Have you both had the opportunity to work together a lot on similar committees, or what's your experience been like working together?
Well, you know, I've admired Senator Menar first when, you know, he was giving us guidance when he was chief of staff
sure.
for the Senate. So oftentimes the real brain trust in the legislature is those who are leading the staff, and
right.
Senator Menar knew a lot more about what was going on than the legislature. And so when he ascended to his role in the Senate, you know, we were all happy because
sure.
it brought a sort of, you know, he was able to hit the ground running because he knew the inner workings of the legislature better than, you know, the vast majority of all the members. It reflected in itself in his work on education funding. You know, I talked earlier about commonalities across the state, and one thing that when we did our rural-urban exchange, one thing that folks realize is that some of the challenges that you have in certain urban schools, you also have them in rural schools as well. And Senator Menar's work on his leadership on education funding reform was something I was happy to support, to speak about in my area of the state and other places. And he traveled the state. He really worked hard to make this happen, and something that's being applauded throughout the state, notwithstanding the governor's recent tinkering.
Sure, that's a way I have not heard it put.
It's a polite way to say it.
Yes, yeah. Tinkering. What about you, Senator Monroe? What about your experience working with Senator Raul?
Well, I'd echo. He's being modest whenever he says that he's taken on tough legislative assignments, because oftentimes I experience this with school funding. Mm-hmm. You know, when you put yourself out there on tough issues, you do take incoming fire from both sides of the aisle, even in many cases from within your own party. And Senator Raul's done that time and again, chairing the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. And that's one reason why I'm supporting him for Attorney General. It's a crowded field. I think there's, how many candidates? There's a dozen or so.
Yeah, well, there's eight in the primary.
Eight in the primary. I was a little off.
I heard five at last check. So, yeah.
So it's a crowded primary. And I mean, I view the office as an office that has to have someone of high integrity, someone who's going to be a watchdog for consumers in all parts of the state, and someone who has some experience that can utilize that office for what it is intended to be pursuant to our Constitution. Mm-hmm. And Senator Raul has all of those traits. And I think that's going to serve the state well in the office of Attorney General. And I will say this, you know, his experience in Jefferson County, I think, is one thing that we don't talk about enough in Illinois. I've said it time and again, not just in the 48th District, but all over the state, that there's more in common around the state than what divides us. And too oftentimes, geography gets in the way of good decisions. And during the school funding fight, Senator Raul was right there along the whole group, you know, the whole group, Democrats and Republicans, that were trying to bring this issue finally to decision point after literally 30 years of debate. And I think that should be said today too, that, you know, this isn't just a downstate or just a Chicago issue. There's underfunded schools in every part of the state. And Senator Raul was one of the Democrats that stepped up to the plate to meet with Republicans to say, let's put our political differences aside and let's put our geographic differences aside and let's try to figure out how to fix this problem.
Yeah, oftentimes there's more common ground than people either want to admit or even realize between people of different parties. I mean,
yeah, there is.
You know, it reminds me of some advice I got on my very first day down here. My predecessor, then Senator-elect Obama. I asked him. He was down here to say goodbye to his colleagues, and he was scheduled to fly off to D.C., and I asked him, hey, before you get out of town, can you give me a little bit of advice on how to do this job? He says, I'm about to eat lunch in my office. Why don't you come with me, and we can talk there? I said, you know, isn't that my office now? And he said, come on, Kwame. What he did tell me, though, is, you know, the one piece of advice I can give you that I think you should really take heed to is spend some time with people from other parts of the state. Don't just spend your time with just folks from Chicago while you're down here. Go out, have dinner, have drinks, get to know people, get to know how much you have in common, and learn about your differences without letting them divide you. He says, do the same with people on the other side of the aisle. Get to know them, make friends, make genuine friends, and get to know how much you have in common. And I've done so, and it's benefited me throughout the last 13 years of my service.
Sure.
Because, you know, negotiations are difficult sometimes, and you got to be able to be tolerant of people and be patient enough to have them come along and meet you halfway.
I do want to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about some, and you can absolutely chime on this as well because you are still a senator. I mean, this affects you too. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the legislation that's going on with you, Senator Menard. I know you and Senators McCann and Bertino Tarrant have banded together to bring high-speed internet to schools. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a pretty simple proposal. It's quite stunning, actually, that there's over 100 school districts in the state that don't have access to high-speed internet through fiber. And we introduced a measure this past week that would simply say that the state of Illinois should invest $16 million, which we have in the bank today that's sitting, literally sitting dormant, immediately. Invest that $16 million immediately, and that would in turn leverage $50 million from the federal government that is earmarked for Illinois schools, predominantly in rural areas, though I would say that there are several urban school districts that are in the same category, that are underserved, that don't have access to high-speed internet. And when you put those two things together in combination, we can literally put high-speed internet in every classroom in the state. It's a win-win for everybody. This is a no-brainer. And I think we should do it this year. If we don't do it this year, we're at risk of that $50 million that we all pay in taxes to the federal government going to Iowa, Missouri, Indiana, other states. And this is something that we can do. You know, we got through the partisan bickering when it comes to school funding. We have the new evidence-based model in place. That's going to get us on a path to equity this year. But in reality, classrooms can't be successful. Teachers can't be successful unless they have access to the internet. I got a call from a local superintendent, actually, in the listening area, who said that the number one issue that that bill, the new bill, is going to solve is that his school district's required to take all of the testing requirements that the state puts on schools online, mm-hmm. but they don't have the bandwidth to take those tests, so they're forced to take pen and paper tests, which takes up time and classroom space and instructional periods. So this is a good next step, I think, for us. It's a what I think is a good bipartisan issue. We're encouraging Governor Rauner to include our proposal in his budget address, which is less than a month away, a couple weeks, actually. Sure. And we think this is something that can be done immediately so that within a couple years, we can be a state that says, regardless of where you live, whether you live in an urban neighborhood or a small town, the state of Illinois has a policy that it upholds that says we're going to make sure that you have access to high-speed internet so that you can have the best education.
Sure. Would this have any effect, and obviously this doesn't pertain to, this is really more for this controlled area, but would this have any effect on a business like CTI, who's currently building fiber line down to Montgomery County?
It could. Mm-hmm. It could. You know, each individual school that doesn't have access today is faced with a different set of circumstances. It could be distance. It could be, you know, some aspect of geography or topography. It could be, you know, lack of a right-of-way, for example, or lack of investment, which I think is the predominant factor. So each individual district is different. I do know of a couple that I represent where I think if we get this done, it's gonna spur increased investment from telecommunications companies that will help small businesses and homeowners that may not have access today too. So I think there's ancillary benefits. And I think I go back to the same thing I said earlier. This ought to be the policy of the state. There should be no school district that doesn't have access to high-speed internet, period. Mm-hmm. And we have money sitting in a bank that we pay fees toward and wireless bills. We all pay that. That money is collected by the state. It's put in the bank. It's sitting there dormant today. And that, coupled with federal investment, we can end this divide, this digital divide for every kid.
Sure. To that note, and this may be a foolish question, but for like Montgomery County or even Christian County, who will have that fiber line, could the money is the money specifically for building the fiber lines?
So the way it works is this proposal that we have would bring fiber lines to every school building. Okay. And then there's another program called the E-Rate program that every school district accesses today that will help make sure that once it gets to the school that, you know, the internet access is directed to the appropriate places within the school. So mm-hmm. that's a combo of programs that would lead us to getting the goal accomplished.
Senators Andy Menar and Kwame Raoul joining us today. Thank you both so much for coming in today. Senator Raoul is running for Attorney General. He has to get through a packed primary, and then he'll be in the general election, which is always fun. Good luck with everything moving forward.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
That's it for this edition of The Forum on your Tally broadcasting stations. I'm David Jenkins. Tune in next time, but until then, so long.